find his work for USA Today online. The website is usatoday.com, or you could, you know, go to your local newsstand and pick up an actual copy. Follow on Twitter, use the handle at George Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, how are you today, sir?
I'm really good. How are you?
All righty. I know you're heading to Columbus for a little, I guess, pre-playoff work as the Buckeyes prep for Clemson. So considering the game is going to be in Glendale and they're predicting single-digit weather the next few days, did you make any kind of a pitch to see if maybe everybody could meet in Phoenix instead of the middle of Ohio?
I wish. I'm going to go to Clemson next week. I'm hoping it'll be a lot warmer there. I mean, it doesn't have to be, but I'm assuming it will be. It's a balmy 20 right now, or 18, I think, actually. 18 with a wind chill that's below zero.
Oof.
And the good news is that's actually warm. Tomorrow, the high is supposed to be 12.
Nice.
So, yeah, with a wind chill. So, yeah, it's you know, as my wife says, we're never living in Ohio. So.
Nice. Now that process, because you know, with many major college football programs, we know here in Eugene, closed practices, access is limited, information kind of at a premium. So what kind of access do you get as far as practice, coaches, players, you know, being there representing a major national publication like USA Today?
Yeah, well, one of the things that the advent of the playoff has done is, and I guess it happened actually probably with the BCS title game too, but is the participants typically have, even though they're not mandated to do this until after the semis, but they typically have an on-campus sort of media day of sorts, and so you don't get access to practice, but you get access to just about anybody you want, including players and, you know, in most programs, you know, assistant coaches and things like that. I mean, Nick Saban's not going to give you assistant coaches till he's mandated to do so, but you know, the people that normally give them to you, give them to you. So what we'll get tomorrow at Columbus and at Ohio State, and then Monday at Clemson will be, you know, a rollout of a whole bunch of guys you can ask questions of, and you get some time with different people, and you know, it'll be a good way to sort of get prepared for the trip to Glendale.
Cool. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today, who took part in the Football 4 podcast with his colleague Dan Wolkin. And, of course, 'tis the season to hire a head coach. Start with Lane Kiffin, who's been a head coach in the SEC, the blue blood of the Pac-12, the Raiders. What was your reaction when you heard he's leaving Bama as offensive coordinator for Florida Atlantic?
Yeah, a little bit surprising. It says a couple things. One, look, Lane Kiffin has not been involved in reality in many/most of the jobs you've heard his name bandied about for. I mean, those of you guys in Eugene know he wasn't involved in the Oregon search to any real degree at all, even though that's sort of been thrown out there a couple times. He was involved in the Houston one. That's the only real one since his arrival in Tuscaloosa that he's really been involved in that's been significant. And then he didn't end up getting that job for you know, depends on who you're talking to, what the reasons are. But he didn't get that job. And so you know, I think there were two things going on here. One, it's pretty clear that as good as that relationship has been for Nick Saban and for Lane Kiffin, I mean, he did tremendous things three different years in a row
for
the Alabama offense. And that also helped rehab his image to an extent. It's pretty clear that relationship had frayed and it was not going to go another season. So he was either going to take the route of going somewhere else to be an assistant coach or, and I'm not sure that really builds you much more value in getting a Power 5 head coaching job if you go to LSU to be an offensive coordinator. Or you go take whatever job's available as a head coach. And if you demonstrate maturity, and obviously you need to win some games, but if you demonstrate some maturity, that's the bigger thing with Lane. Then perhaps 2 years from now you can move up, or maybe even a year from now you can move up. And so I think that's what his calculation was, because he took about $500,000 pay cut to go from offensive coordinator of the Tide to head coach of Florida Atlantic.
Wow. I was listening to that podcast, and I'd kind of forgotten whether it was Tennessee, USC, issues outside of, you know, minimal on-field success. I think you guys mentioned something with Kiffin sending hostesses to visit recruits. Well, what are some of those kind of outside-the-line factors we've seen from this guy that played into perhaps his not being legit now for a more substantial gig?
Well, those are the public things. There's some private things that athletic directors hear about that may or may not be true, that are just sort of rumors that I'm not going to get into.
But, right.
And, of course, just by bringing it up, I get it. But look, the listeners in Eugene and Springfield probably remember some of the things he did when he was – that were just, you know, goofy, stupid, dumb, all those things above, all above when he was coach at USC, including things like his own version of Deflategate, the football
right.
thing, including having the holders switch numbers illegally and stuff like that in a game against Colorado, which at the time wasn't very good. Colorado at the time, I don't care what USC was doing, was a team that you were going to beat easily. I mean, just dumb, cheating little things that don't really matter. There was the time that he voted his team number one in the preseason poll but lied about it for no apparent reason. And so USA Today, which doesn't normally reveal coaches' votes, felt like they needed to do that. And they revealed the fact that he had voted for number one. I mean, just dumb things. Just say you voted your team number one. That was actually toned down compared to Tennessee. He spent, 11 months in Knoxville, if that, and maybe it was 12, but whatever. And he ran afoul of Urban Meyer, who was the kingpin of the SEC at the time, by basically accusing him of cheating. He told a big-time receiver recruit that if he went to South Carolina, it was Alshon Jeffrey, he would be pumping his own gas. And I'm not really sure what that means because unlike Oregon, you pump your own gas in every state in the SEC. I assume he meant he'd be pumping gas for a living or something. But and then there was the hostess thing that you were talking about too, where he sent, and this is a blatant NCAA violation, he sent these hostesses a couple hundred miles from the Tennessee campus to go to a high school game to hold up signs that said, we love you so-and-so, come to Tennessee. And it was a blatant violation of recruiting rules for the NCAA. And so just a bunch of stuff that leads people to think, this guy is not to be trusted. And all those other little things at USC sort of made you, if you're an athletic director, makes you think he hasn't gained any maturity since Tennessee.
By the way, for the record, George, this is important. Of 54 of my 56 years, I've lived in either Oregon or New Jersey, the places where you don't pump your own gas.
Yeah, so you don't know how to pump your own gas, is what you're saying. You're that guy when you have the rental car who's trying to figure out how to make that thing work. I got you.
All right, just wanted to make sure we were on the same page there. I know this is maybe a reach for a connect, but, Kiffin saw himself as big time. He landed at what your colleague Paul Meyerberg called Del Boca Vista. Considering how fans or some around this Duck program see Oregon football, they were not able to lure an FBS coach. And it's not a knock on Willie Taggart, but does this kind of maybe provide a dose of reality how Oregon is viewed outside of maybe the Eugene bubble?
Well, they did lure an FBS coach. You just mean they didn't
lure a Power 5
coach.
Power 5, Power 5, Power 5, my bad.
Listen, coaching searches are different every year, and it depends on kind of what jobs are sitting out there open and what aren't and everything else. But, yeah, look, it's a top 15 job, I think, and I think coaches probably think that too, but it's not a top 5 job. And I think, given how the program had fallen off the map, especially this year, but you could see the cracks developing last year, I think coaches are like, okay, what is this program actually? What is it? And they look at Washington Rising, whether that's a one-year blip or not. Let me put it this way. You can think hope. It feels like they're building something there that's going to be formidable to deal with. And, maybe Willie Taggart will be able to do that. But given Washington's rise, given the fact that USC is not going away, and it looks like they may have righted the ship, you start to go, okay, was this Oregon run just a wonderful run that was clearly fantastic, but it took advantage of Washington being down and some other things? I'm just trying to think like coaches thought through
right.
it, I think. And I think at a certain point you're like, it's a great job, but I'm not sure I'm ready to actually make that move there. And they definitely had some. They definitely had some interest from some sitting Power Five head coaches. Now, I'm going to say one other thing, though, and this is obviously going to be the party line. But I do think this. I think when Willie Taggart got in a room with Rob Mullins and whomever else, that he blew their socks off. And I think he is. I know he's well respected around the industry as an up and coming. Big time head coach. He's got a serious pedigree already with where he came out of the Harbaugh coaching tree, and he got a ton of fantastic recommendations, including from Jim Harbaugh. And we talked about that, I think, last week.
Yep.
I don't know that you have to reevaluate what the Oregon job is. I would just say go with it, see what happens. And if Willie Taggart's the guy I think he is, and if people will have a little patience, and that's the big if.
Yeah, sure is.
Patience is in short supply. I think he'll build something, and it'll be different than what we've seen at Oregon. But by necessity, it's going to be. And frankly, had they hired anybody, it was going to be different than what we've seen at Oregon over the last decade and a half.
Good point. I'm talking college football, George Schroeder, USA Today. And, of course, yesterday we got as odd of a story as I recall. Tommy Elrod, a broadcaster at Wake Forest, accused in essence of the sports version of espionage, a former player giving secrets to the enemy. Is it possible this could lead to an even more secretive nature, if that's possible, around this sport?
I was thinking of some of the coaches I know around the country who are already paranoid, who, like, in the week of the big rival, they like kick managers out of practice and stuff like that. I mean, you know, the things that are just goofy. This is going to make those guys even more paranoid. So the next thing is somebody needs to double check and make sure that Georgie hasn't been like feeding game plans to people. I know I'm kidding, and that will get back to Georgie, and he's going to be mad at me. It's just a joke, but. It's one of the more wacky things I've ever heard of. Now, look, so the color analyst for the Wake Forest radio broadcast over the last 3 years since Dave Clawson got the job is Tommy Elrod, who was an assistant coach on Jim Grobe's staff. And then when Jim retired, which necessitated the new hire, he wasn't retained. And apparently that's part of the deal. There was some bad blood there. But what's interesting is it isn't like he wasn't retained and he just sort of hung out. He was still on the payroll in a different role. He was still on the team, so to speak, and yet he's been apparently attempting to feed intel to anybody who wanted it for 3 years. It's an amazing story.
Wow, Benedict Arnold's like, man, I could see trying to sell out your country, but your football program? That's just wrong. Couple of final thoughts for George Schroeder. You posted a piece about Jim Delaney, the Big Ten commissioner, and the conference, of course, became the first to get a non-champion in the playoff, Ohio State over Penn State. Then there's the outcry for expansion. So unless there are four unbeaten league champs, that's probably never going to go away. But from what Delaney said and what you wrote about, this doesn't even mean a change is even being considered right now, does it?
No, and it wasn't just Jim Delaney. I talked to Greg Sankey from the SEC. I talked to Bob Bowlsby from the Big 12. And I talked to Larry Scott from the Pac-12. And there is zero impetus for the playoff. Now, I'll say this. If John Swofford from the ACC had his druthers, he would go for an 18 playoff. But he's one guy among the Power Five, and he basically doesn't have any shot at it. And he knows it, and he's okay with the reasons that they're at four. But look, here's why Jim Delaney's okay with it. Because he's got, even though it's not his champion, he's A, got a team in Ohio State, and B, it's a team that, quite frankly, if you're just evaluating the teams on the eye test, has a much better shot, I would tell you this, to win the national title in Ohio State than Penn State would have. So that's why he's okay with this. Here's when Jim Delaney gets upset. When multiple teams from one conference get in, and it's not the Big Ten, and they're left out. That's when he gets upset, or some of these other guys gets upset. And frankly, it won't be the first year. It'll be when it becomes a trend that, you know, obviously one conference is always going to be left out. It's part of the system. Five Power Five champions, or five Power Five conferences, four slots. When you start having two conferences get left out more often than not because a league or leagues is getting two teams in, that's when you're going to start seeing the impetus to go to eight, I think, at that point.
All righty. Try and stay warm. travel safe. And with considering what we talked about 2 weeks ago, then last week, I can't wait to see what happens this next week, George. Enjoy your time in Columbus and Clemson, and we'll catch up next Wednesday.
All right. Look forward to it.
All right. Take it easy.